Picture the scene. It's evening in the early spring, and you're looking out over open farmland as the sun sets. As night begins to fall, something catches your eye on top of a fence post. It's the movement of a small bird in the growing darkness. The silhouette is round, a stout ball of feathers topped by a smaller one. A head bobbing up and down and side to side as the bird barks a high-pitched call. This is a little owl, calling to a mate, or perhaps defending a newly established territory and preparing to scan its habitat in a nightly search for food. Hello, I'm Tom Morath. I'm the Deputy Head of Living Collection at the Hawk Conservancy Trust, and whether it be kites or kestrels, harriers or hawks, I have a passion for birds of prey and understanding their place in the natural world. Our podcast, Nature's a Hoot, is a way to delve deeper into the world of these winged predators, to understand their natural history, their current status in the wild, and how we can support them through conservation efforts into the future. This time, it's a focus on an owl species native to the UK, and one we've worked very closely with in the wild at the Hawk Conservancy Trust for many years. The little owl, Athene noctua, is the smallest of our five native species of owls, standing no more than 23 centimetres tall. They're most active at night, but can regularly be seen hunting by day in open habitat, where they'll find a telegraph pole or a fence post from which to watch for their prey. Their diet is made up of invertebrates, like worms, bugs and beetles, and small mammals, like mice and voles, in almost equal measure, depending on the prey availability. Given their daytime activities, they can be seen fairly regularly if you know where to look. And as a result, they've become a big part of the British landscape, despite their small size. But in truth, they're historical stowaways.
One of the most interesting things about little owls is that people rarely appreciate that they aren't actually a native species here in the UK. So there are records of them having been recorded in the start of the 19th century, occurring from continental UK, but it's possible that lots of these may have been just birds escaping from aviaries or deliberately released birds. They were frequently available in places like London markets because people used to keep them as pets. They were very good at catching cockroaches around the house, so yeah, people would have them around the place.
That's Dr. Matt Stevens. You might recognise him after I last spoke to Matt all about the ups and downs of the red kite population in the UK back in January last year. Be sure to go back and have a listen to that episode if you missed it.
So yes, some birds may have occurred naturally, but not enough really to colonise. So they weren't enough to encounter each other and start nesting in the UK. So most of the birds, so all the birds that occur in the UK really stem from a couple of releases. There were several unsuccessful attempts in Yorkshire in the 1980s, in the New Forest in Hampshire in the 1860s, and in near Tring in Hertfordshire in the 1880s. But all of those just sort of fizzled out. So birds are released, but they didn't actually produce any viable population. There were some other attempts, though, later on, in the 1870s in Kent and in the 1880s in Northamptonshire. Perhaps the most successful was the one by Lord Lilford in Oundle in Northamptonshire. He used to buy chicks from London dealers and then release them around the grounds of his family home. And I think the first nest was found there in late 1880s, 1889, I think. And just 3 years later, there was a nest found at Woburn in Bedfordshire. So in that sort of three-year period, they'd managed to spread out a little bit and colonise new areas. So by 1925, most of England south of Harrogate, North Yorkshire, was colonised by little owls. And then by 1950s, they were into all counties of England and into northwest Wales as well. It took them a bit longer to get up into Scotland, but not that much longer. So almost just before 1960, they were recorded in southwest Scotland. As far as adapting to the environment here, I don't suppose really it's that much different to much of their range. So mixed farmland, they don't particularly like areas of woodland, or they're not really attracted to water as such. They like open areas. They seem to prefer places with old trees, lots of invertebrates, small birds, especially house sparrows, which they like to prey on, and with ample opportunities for nesting. So holes in buildings, piles of stones, piles of logs, rabbit burrows, holes in trees, you name it, they'll nest anywhere. One of the problems that little owls face in the UK really is our climate. If you look throughout Europe at populations of little owls, they're not doing particularly well, or they don't do particularly well in periods of harsh weather. So heavy snowfall, or periods where there's lots of snow on the ground, are particularly difficult for little owls to survive, because obviously the stuff that they eat, the stuff that they prey on, they spend a lot of time running around on the ground trying to pull out earthworms from the soil, looking for beetles, looking for other invertebrates, catching birds at roost as well. There's a record of little owls snatching earthworms from blackbirds that are feeding nearby. So lots of the foodstuffs that they rely on, lots of the prey items that they choose, are going to be more difficult to get hold of when there's lots of snow cover. So poor weather isn't great for them.
Matt is the UK conservation biologist at the Hawk Conservancy Trust. He spends much of his time out in the field monitoring populations of British birds of prey, and one such species is the little owl.
Oh, I've been fascinated with little owls since I was a child, in east rural areas of East Leicestershire. So, little owls were fairly abundant as a kid in the 70s through that part of East Leicestershire and into Rutland. So I spent a lot of time looking at them then, and they were just fascinating things, this starry, bright yellow-eyed species that you could see during the day, which is something, that as a child... Well, as a child and a teenager, seeing those sorts of things out in the countryside as you were out on your bike or just wandering about was fantastic, because also the other stuff was much more difficult. Tawny owls were hard work to see. Barn owls, not that common. But little owls just seemed to be there and a little bit obvious, with their cat-like mewy call. They were, it sort of draws you in, and you could go to regular sites and see them fairly frequently. So that's why I was so keen on seeing them as a child. But I've been sort of monitoring little owls now at the Trust for about 13 years, I think, since the start of the Raptor Nest Box project. I think it's been going a couple of years before that, but for me, it's been about 13 years. And little owls are fascinating, but one of the difficulties for monitoring them down in Hampshire is that, firstly, they're not particularly abundant down here. Secondly, they don't really like nest boxes. There are so many alternatives for them to use down here in Hampshire and sort of central southern England, that getting them into a nest box is quite tricky work. So I use a box that's well used, a designer box that's well used in places like Lincolnshire, Cambridgeshire and Leicestershire, where they'll, little owls seem to go in boxes quite readily. But down here, because of the options available to them, I think I have maybe 3 or 4 pairs use about 90 boxes each year, and that's about it. So it's tricky. And they never use, like lots of birds, they never use the boxes that you intend for them to use. They'll always use something else. Some of these little owls don't actually nest in the little owl boxes I provide. They nest in barn owl boxes. Yeah, they don't do as they're supposed to, and that's one of the best things about nature. I mentioned the trickiness of getting them into nest boxes, but when they're in there, and I know I'm going to a little owl site, they're just fantastic. They're great birds. They're so characterful, and they're angry as well. I like that about certain birds. So little owls and tawny owls do seem to be quite aggressive, able to defend themselves, able to stick up for themselves. I find that really endearing, because, it's a little thing compared to me visiting a site. I'm a giant compared to them, but they'll still have a go. And I think that's really admirable in a species because it's, you know, able to defend its young and have a go at defending its young. But yeah, it's good fun and it's really enjoyable. And, you know, if you're out and about and you see little owls, you can't help but smile because just they're comical and they're aggressive, they're characterful, and they've got an interesting flight as well, a bit like a woodpecker when they make this sort of undulating long ups and downs when they fly away from you. Yeah, they're great birds to see, and really, I really enjoy working with them.
The little owl may well have been a recent addition to the UK countryside, but they certainly seem to have found themselves a place within the natural landscape. However long they've been here, the more up-to-date research into the population of little owls paints a less than positive picture for the species.
They're not particularly abundant in Hampshire, where the Trust is located. And there's been a general decline in their populations in the last 30, 40 years anyway. So, they're not doing particularly well, and they're not doing particularly well throughout the UK. So there's a debate about whether we should really be expending much energy or resources in protecting something that's a non-native species. But, you know, where do you draw the line? Which species do you choose to protect and which species don't you? If they form a regular part of our avifauna and they don't have a negative impact on stuff that has been here longer, then I don't see that there's necessarily a negative in maintaining that population and doing what we can to keep it here, especially as the sort of source population, if you like, throughout Europe isn't doing so well. So if we've got a population here that does well, a bit like red kites, and or does okay, if we can maintain a population, then it helps keep the species going, especially when its populations in its native range and across Europe aren't doing perhaps so well, a bit like the red kite. Lots of the issues facing little owls really centre around habitat and food, prey and nest site availability. We can't control what the weather does, so you know, all species have to contend with difficult weather conditions and prolonged periods of snow cover, which makes their food not that easily accessible. But there are things that we can control, include ensuring that there are spaces for them to nest. So in lots of parts of Europe, populations can be assisted by the use of nest boxes, which is what we do at the Trust. Admittedly, down here, they don't seem to take to nest boxes in South Central England very well, but, you know, we do what we can. And the other stuff, it sounds a bit tedious to say it, but we're on the path to resolving some of these issues, or at least addressing them, by improving biodiversity across farmland areas, and considering lots of species that require those marginal areas to do well. Some of that also involves some things that perhaps you wouldn't consider necessarily as important, or wouldn't at first consider as being important, things like soil quality. If you've got good soil quality, if you're not repeatedly exposing it, repeatedly drying out the soil, compacting the soil, so if you allow it to develop a good structure, if it's got lots of earthworms and invertebrates in it, then that's going to be great for not just little owls, but lots of other species as well that rely on invertebrates and earthworms, which is, you know, pretty much everything when it comes down to it. So the more we can do to keep habitats going, improve the condition of habitats, improve connectivity between habitats, improve soil condition and quality, provide lots of nest sites, then, or ensure that there are lots of nest sites, then that's about as much as we can do. And I think if we approach it in that way, and if we get all those things right, then there's no reason why little owls and lots of other species that, you know, are currently facing difficulties can't do better and can't improve and increase their population sizes and their range.
Between 1995 and 2010, it's estimated that the little owl population declined by 40%, with the species all but having disappeared in Scotland and some parts of Wales and the west of England. It's for this reason that the Trust has been focusing efforts to support the little owl.
Well, we work with lots of landowners, farmer clusters, farmers, countryside agencies, if you like, organisations, charities, to try and, you know, assist the UK raptor populations as much as we can. And that includes little owls by giving advice on how best to manage environments to provide those things that I've mentioned before. So places them to nest and how they can improve habitats for improving prey availability and prey populations. But also provision of nest boxes across an area. The ideal would be to have lots of naturally occurring nest sites across environments and across our landscape. But sometimes that just can't happen either because of other issues, you know, like ash dieback, I suppose, is resulting in loss of significant losses of ash trees across the environment. So ash trees have lots of cavities in, which can be useful for lots of bird species and lots of raptors. So the provision of nest boxes can be a big help in providing nest sites. Again, I come back to them not being seemingly particularly selected by little owls in south central England, but you know, it's been shown in parts of the East Midlands and East Anglia that where those nest sites aren't available, provision of nest boxes has a big impact and can be very useful for things like little owls and barn owls. So that's what we're doing. We discuss with lots of people, provide advice, and take proactive steps in providing nest boxes in places where we think that there's a need for them for species like little owls. And we'll just keep doing what we're doing and trying to bring about the best outcome for all of these species. Because, yeah, who doesn't want to see a little owl regularly around where they regularly walk or where they spend their time? Because they're just such fantastic animals.
Since 2008, the Trust has been installing and monitoring nest boxes for four of our cavity nesting species of birds of prey in the UK. That's the little owl, tawny owl, barn owl and kestrel. We began with 38 nest boxes. At the time of recording, we have 1,277 boxes across Hampshire and the surrounding counties. Work that may well offer a lifeline for these native raptors. If you've never had the chance to see a little owl in the wild yet, I sincerely hope you do before long. They're an almost magical creature. Somehow cartoonish in their stature and the way they move, but perfectly adapted, of course, to live the lives they lead. I have to admit to having a soft spot for the little owl. I was lucky enough to be followed by one little owl, or sometimes two, almost daily, along a dirt track on my way to work. About halfway along the track was an old dead tree with a hollow inside of it. A perfect-sized nesting cavity for a family of little owls. The parent birds would follow my car, presumably because the movement disturbed the insects in the grass verge beside the track. Amazingly, as time went on, the birds would seem to wait for me to drive by at the same time each morning. Once I'd driven past, I could see them in my rearview mirror, pouncing down upon their prize. To them, I was merely there to flush their prey, and I was more than happy to be of service. I'd like to thank my colleague, Dr. Matt Stevens, for his support in putting this episode together. If you'd like to support the work we do with Little Owls in the Wild, donations can always be made online. Loads more information can also be found there. Our website is hawk-conservancy.org. Loads more bird of prey content can also be found on our social media pages. You'll find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and perhaps consider leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts.